CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report. I was just asking Phil Conant if he heard anything in it. He said no, but now you do. It's me talking to you.
I hear you. I see you, and I hear you. And it's in conjunction, yeah.
Well, it is, of course, time to donate and help the station, and which is we're always happy to do this. It's kind of like it gives us also a chance to go through our inventory and see what we've got, what we've done, and what we might be doing. And again, I will tell you, it is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And if you're in a hurry to donate, and I don't want to interrupt you in on that, so I'll just tell you, call us at 416-946-7800. And, of course, you can call us toll-free from anywhere in the known universe, 1-888-204-8976. We are going to be – we will have one guest today. We're going to talk to author, publisher, activist, Robin Philpott of Baraka Books, because they have a really interesting new book that every Canadian ought to have. It's called Songs Upon the Rivers, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadians and the Métis from the Great Lakes and the Mississippi across the Pacific. And it's really, I'm sure it is a book which is going to make historians take special note, because there is a tendency, in certain, primarily because the Anglo-American culture doesn't often want to talk about, or finds them, they become a little mute when they discuss Spanish influence and French influence on the continent. And they forget, you know, Louisiana was once French, and it was also once Spanish. Florida was Spanish. And I remember the great American poet, Kenneth Rexroth, pointing out to an audience who didn't believe him, actually, he said, when I was a boy in Illinois, you could go down the Mississippi and you would find small communities speaking French, and he said that's, you know, to show the influence of the French. So I remember taking note of that and looking into it, found it to be true. Anyway, the book is Songs Upon the Rivers. That isn't, of course, the only topic we're going to take up with Robin. He is going to talk about Leonard Cohen, some details about it. Leonard spoke French, which is quite rare in the Anglophone community of his generation.
And has not been mentioned in the mainstream obituaries at all.
Yeah. And his main publisher and translator in Quebec was a man who was, I don't know his name, but he was arrested at the time of the War Measures Act, and which, as you know, became a badge of distinction. That was like getting the Governor General's Award, you know. And in a way it was. You might say the backhanded version of the Governor General's Award. And now I realize I'm telling the whole story, but I'm going to make him tell it later. But something else I don't know, and Phil, you've been reading the obituaries. I have to say I'm not up to date on it. There's a lot of them, thank goodness. All over the world, people are writing about Leonard Cohen. He is a world figure. People know his music and a very distinct voice. But he was given the Governor General's Award, named for the Governor General's Award. I don't know the year. And he refused it. And he refused it because he didn't like that the label. He thought it had a royalist ring to it.
Jeez, you think? just a teeny bit?
Apparently, again, I realize I'm doing Robin's interview for him, but I'm going to he'll fill in the details. He'll tell you what I'm telling you right now is true, that Mordecai Richler received an award for prose or novel, I don't know what it was at the time, that they were giving him. He was very unhappy with Leonard Cohen, that they had a distinct difference about that distinct society, very distinct difference, almost came to blows. So that's why you listen to the Tato Report. You get the latest gossip from 50 years ago, and it's you can call us up at 416-946-7800. And if you can call us from Hong Kong if you like, 1-888-204-8976. And of course, by the way, go online anytime at CIUT.FM and donate, because it's a great station, a lot of wonderful shows. We have many terrific people, and it's just a blessing for any community to have true alternative radio, and that's what we represent. Phil, I think we have some announcements, too, we want to make.
Boy, do we ever. Some very interesting stuff coming up. So let's start with what's on tomorrow night at a different book list. It's called Seeds of Hope, Creating a Future in the Shadows book launch. A new collection of stories that offers a window into experiences that are so rarely shared, highlighting voices that are too often silenced. Through the short stories and poems, 12 writers have eloquently used their own words to describe their realities of living with precarious immigration status in Canada. So that's tomorrow night at a different book list at 6 p.m. That's 746 Bathurst Street. And we'll have some more announcements later.
Okay. Thank you, Phil Conlon. And as I say, you can donate. Call at 416-946-7800 or toll-free 1-888-204-8976 to support the station, the great station, CIUT, and, of course, please mention the Tato Report. And we're joined now, I believe, by author, publisher, editor, etc., Robin Philpotty. There, Robin.
Well, hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much for being with us. And let's talk about you're launching two books tomorrow, and one of them is Songs Upon the River by Mr. Robert Foxcurran, Michael Bouchard, and Sebastian Mallette. What can you – and a second book. Tell it. What's going to be – what kind of an event is
okay,
it going to be?
It's two books we're launching. We chose mid-November for two reasons. The two books are Songs Upon the Rivers, The Buried History of the French-Speaking Canadian Métis Across the Continent, and the second is The Prophetic Anti-Gallic Letter, Adam, Tom, and the Hidden Roots of the Dominion of Canada. Mm-hmm. Now, This the first book is very very much about the buried history of French and the French Métis in North America. It's not just Canada; it's throughout North America. It's something that and these people have been working on this for years. It's a book of 450 pages, amply illustrated, and it is. I would say that it could change the way we look at North American history.
Mm-hmm.
They point out that for the British who controlled Canada after the conquest, and for the Americans, there was no way they were going to point out this existence of this meeting between the indigenous peoples and the French, which were called the Coureurs de Bois and then the Voyageurs. They would never and be able to show this the strength of it. They continued, for instance, when Lewis and Clark went across in 1803, 1804, it was always as if this was civilization going out west. This was Europeans going out west. Mm-hmm. Well, it just so happened that the French had been there for over 100 years already, and they had intermarried and had children. And,
so the French were there and waiting for them when they came to break the new ground and to introduce European culture.
Exactly. The French would be there. They did intermarried. They had created this mixed peoples who, and the lingua franca, the common language across the continent, was French. And this book has some of these wonderful quotes, particularly from de Tocqueville, for instance, who went out into, he was doing his study that became the Democracy in America, and then he took what he called A Fortnight in the Desert. This is a book published posthumously. Mm-hmm. And he went up to where in the Green Bay area, and he just could not believe it. He said, everybody spoke French. And he said he would meet this man with a dark complexion, and he was speaking like the Normans in the area in France where he came from. And they sang the songs, and they called themselves Canadiens. Canadian. Mm-hmm. They didn't, but they were mixed. they were mixed, and they'd been there for decades and decades. This was in 1831 that de Tocqueville went there. So this book is I think it's they've dug out things that have so consciously been buried both in Canada and the United States about North American history.
Oh, deeply buried, yes.
We chose to launch it on the anniversary of the hanging of Louis Riel, which is Louis Riel was hanged November.
I can't wait to hear the introductory remarks. Well, we're gathered here on the anniversary of the death of the hanging of Louis Riel to talk about a book.
a book which is going to bring back... You know,
the voyageurs. Like, yours.
and the people who actually made the history. I mean, there's so much in it.
Are you going to have a moment of silence? That would be something.
But the other book is also extremely important, and these are both 19th century history, books about the 19th century, which define a lot of what's going on in Canada and the United States today, or what, you know, like the nature of our political structures. This book, called the Prophetic Anti-Gallic Letters, in 1836, now 1836 is just before the revolts in 37 and 38, both in the Mackenzie Revolt in Upper Canada.
It's still spoken of here.
Papineau. That's still spoken of, but not enough.
A little less here than... I think you're the one... It's you pointed out during one of our previous shows that in the museum in Quebec, you can find the flag of William Lyon Mackenzie.
Yeah, you can find
it. We can't find it here, but you can find it in a museum in Quebec.
Yeah, and events, when they have events on this. So in the 1836, there's this man, Adam Tom, who was a British... he was Scottish, in fact. And he was editor-in-chief of the Montreal Herald, which was the most important newspaper here, more important than the Gazette. And they were ultra-Tories, and they were bitterly anti-French. And he wrote this book, published this book, in which he talked about how the British had to behave. And the British at that time were divided. You know, there was those who wanted to sort of be democratic and those who were more saying, well, we have to maintain... It was on how to maintain the empire, whether it be in India or in North America. And he was saying he feared, like the plague, the creation of a French Republic on the St. Lawrence. And he said, here's how we have to do. We have to take arms. The Anglos in Montreal have to take up arms. And he described how they should do it. And he signs it as Camillus, which is... talking about the sack of Rome by the Gauls. See, this goes way back, and I won't try and explain all that. But in it, you can see the nature of the Canadian political structures, because he's saying the French have to become a minority here. They were a majority here in what has become Canada. They were by far a majority. They have to be. They cannot be allowed to have the control of the political structures. And he said that if the British, if the Crown's not going to listen to us, we're going to take up arms. And then we have to bring in masses of immigrants from the British Isles to make this an English country. Uh-huh. And what happened is he did the publish in 1836. It has disappeared from Canadian historiography. Uh-huh. And this is the first time it's been republished since 1836, and the man who has annotated it and presented it is a real specialist. He's the only one who's read the entire Montreal Herald from that period.
Wow!
And and these people who were with in his group were the George Moffat, an upstanding British citizen here, Peter McGill, McCord. All they were all in on the same. And they were the Orange Men as well. So anyway, it's an extremely important book, and we call it the Prophetic Anti-Gallic Letters in this edition, because he was able to prophesy what became the Dominion of Canada 30 years later. In other words, as George Brown said, with Confederation in 67, this was the end of French Canadianism. George Brown, and we point out.
That wasn't very prophetic.
Yeah, but the thing is that he didn't. He wasn't. In many ways, it has been prophetic, because bit by bit, the French have become a smaller and smaller minority in Canada, and with less political power.
Yes,
which is explained.
Yeah, no, there was that kind of diminishing, but the resilience proved to be much stronger than he ever dreamed.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The resilience, and it has to do with, and that's where its link is with the first book, Songs Among the Rivers. There's a certain indigenous nature.
We have all,
the French in North America that people don't want to recognize. In other words, it's not just recent French immigrants. You know, they've been here. People have been here. They build roots. They join with the native peoples, allied with them, which is in a unique manner, by the way. And this comes out very clearly in the book. So anyway, it's
well, by the way, it treats some of the subject matter that is in the film that we spoke of to you about previously. It was such a huge film, won, I think, some Academy Award nominations, et cetera, right? I can't even remember the title.
The Revenant. It actually won the Revenant.
The Revenant is talked about in the same subject matter is talked about in this book, right?
And it is an answer, among other things, to that.
Well, people need to get this.
You know, no, it is. And anyway, you can get it. They're for sale now. It's on our website and barracabooks.com. But both books, I think, are important contributions as Canada's about to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Dominion of Canada.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are. That's
well, I'm glad to hear about all that. Sounds like a great event. Now we have to ask you, we're glad to be asking you, tell us about Leonard Cohen, his place, how he's regarded in Quebec, but tell us about the occasion in which he refused the Governor General's prize.
Yeah, I just did an interview in the French radio about this, about why there's a love story between Quebec and Leonard Cohen, because I mean here's an Anglo-Jewish writer from Montreal, and the answer is simple. He is Quebec's answer to Mordecai Ritzer. The point is that here you have politics and culture, which are never too far apart. For example,
I've noticed that.
In 1969, the Governor General's Award had existed since 59, attached to the state, the Governor General being a British nomination. Quebec at that time was boiling, and a lot of Quebec writers, very, very important writers, were refusing. They would win the Governor General's Award, and they would refuse it. In 69, Mordecai Ritzer wins the Fiction Award and in English, and Leonard Cohen wins the Poetry Award.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they don't check to see whether he were going to accept or not. They think everybody's going to come crawling for it. Mm-hmm. And Hubert Aquin, who's a great writer who died shortly after, he refused it. And Cohen decided to refuse it as well. And when this happened in Chateau Laurier...
Did he give a statement about why?
Yeah, well, this is in his biography, and I'll get to the statement of what he explained to his biographer why he did it. Mordecai Ritzer said... why the hell did you do it? And he hesitated a bit and said, well, I'm not sure. I don't. And he said, well, if you give me any other answer, this is Mitt Ritzer. He said, I would have punched you in the face. And but then Leonard Cohen explains, he said, for somebody who comes from Quebec at this time, when separatists are struggling to get some kind of recognition, he said, it's very untimely to accept to accept an award from the federal government. And he walked away. And in other words, people kept track with that. You have to say that where this comes from is because he was a very close personal friend, and he still is, of artists and writers and sculptors who have been throughout their lives linked to the independence movement here. Mm-hmm. And so he's always respected them. He sang this song in French. It's called Un Canadien Errant that Paul Robeson sang as well.
Uh-huh.
It was a song from 1844 on the Patriot Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And he sang that and explained to it in English. I asked people want to go and listen to it on YouTube. He explained the story. He sang in French. He spoke French, unlike Richard. Richard did not speak a word of French. And unlike Richard, when he had a blank page, he did not fill it with a bunch of garbage against Quebec, which Richard tended to do. Mm-hmm. When he had a blank page in front of him, he decided to... Yes.
His relations were quite bitter. There's a bookload of discussion there as to...
Yeah, for instance...
He went out of his way to lead the fight against sovereignists in a
Richard compared Quebec women to sows. Uh-huh. And he also said that the theme song of the PQ in 1976 was inspired by the Hitler Youth.
Yeah, Horst Wessel.
He never apologized, and it certainly wasn't. It was done by a...
He was exposed in the New Yorker magazine, I believe, on that one.
Yeah, somebody apologized.
Some professor down there wrote a letter to them and said, no, here's the history.
Yeah, and but it was written by a very popular...
Very reckless man, actually.
Yeah, but Cohen, and he never apologized
you
for
You know,
it,
we so don't think of Cohen as someone, you see, who would have taken any... he obviously did it in an understated way, but he did it. Leonard Cohen. He took a different path altogether. But he wasn't a demonstrative guy.
Yeah, and so he did have these close friends. For instance, his translator, and there's pictures of them together up until a year or two ago, a guy named Michel Garneau is a very, very well, highly respected poet and playwright. In 1970, Michel Garneau was locked up for several weeks by the Canadian government during the War Measures Act, just because he was a poet. And he wrote he was a poet. And
wrote an unflattering poem, I suspect.
Yeah, and he wrote some extremely good poem about his being locked up, So that was Cohen, and that's why here Cohen is just loved. I mean,
usually we say, there's the French press and English press, and they go their separate ways. But on this occasion, the French media of Quebec is treating him in depth because he's a member of the community.
Yeah, and as I listened to one popular commentator, he said, well, I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, and he said, the Two Solitudes was like you could cut them with a... They were just so pronounced, but he said, we always considered Cohen as one of us, as just like we used to think of the English hockey players on the Montreal Canadiens. It was like he belonged to
they
us.
You adopted him.
Richler never got to that, and he tried very hard not to. Yeah. He accepted here.
He was very successful in that.
Sorry?
I said he was very successful in not being adopted.
Yeah. And, of course, he's not of the scope of Cohen.
Cohen is a worldwide... Well, this thing of being... there's a Dylan kind of analogy here. The song will go a lot further than a poem or a novel or an essay or a book. A song just goes. It just rides the wind. Dylan said, he was quoting Shelley, you write the laws and let me write the songs. And Leonard Cohen wrote the songs. Well, Robin, it's great to talk to you about all these things. We're fundraising today, and we thank you for being one of the station's supporters.
Oh, well, it's great. It's great having independent radio. What a wonderful thing it is.
It's hard to do. I think we'll get a small army just to make sure, maybe a militia. Anyway, well, thank you very, very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, Robert Philpott. Bye. Thank you. 416-946-7800. I think we might have a bit of Leonard Cohen, and I'll bet you guys would like to hear this. So we'll play a little Leonard Cohen for you.
Of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them bust, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens. I'm guided by this birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. You're worried that I just might win. You know the way to stop me, but you don't have the discipline. How many nights I prayed for this, to let my work begin. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin.
And that's Leonard Cohen, and first we take Manhattan, and then we take Berlin, which I always thought was a great project, except I didn't know what army I was going to join. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Hey, please join in. This is your big chance to support CIUT, a wonderful station, and the Taylor Report. Make sure when you call in or that you go to CIUT.FM, they give you that option. You go PayPal, it says... It's the Taylor Report, please. And it's 1-888-204-8976 for you guys in Buffalo or Tonopah or
and
wherever.
And all donors will be entered into the grand prize draw for a trip to Reykjavik.
To say it first, Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
I trained myself. I got that part about – I added Michael Vick, Reykjavik.
Oh, okay. There you go. That works.
And I did a lot of raked leaves, and I got where I could do it. So, yeah, anyone who donates Sound of City membership drive will be eligible to have their name entered in the draw for a trip for two to Iceland, and you can get all the details at www.ciut.fm. And Phil, I know you hope to win that.
I do. I do. I would love to go to Iceland. That would be a wonderful thing. I've actually thought about it all my life, but I just have never done it, right?
Really? I wish I was doing a shrink
program. I had a school teacher when I was a kid who was the daughter of a Danish ship's captain, and she used to talk to us about going to Iceland, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, CIUT listeners, this is your chance. If you get donate, become a member, you may be on your way to Reykjavik. And as I associate with Bobby
Fischer played
Bobby
chess
Fischer
there once.
Bobby Fischer won a great chess match. Right, yeah. That's where he stunned the world, wasn't it?
That is where he stunned the world in the 1950s. But I got to tell you that it's a good city to get outside in because it has the most amazing topography. You just can't imagine it. And it has these hot springs. So you can go in the middle of the winter and you can go swimming because you go in the hot springs and it's nice and warm.
You see those pictures, the black earth and then the rising vapor. Yeah. Yeah, well, I can see why somebody would want to go there. There's a bunch of prizes as you get. Oh, by the way, we have other – one of the things we're very proud of on the show we do, and you listeners, I tell you something, particularly the people who listen regularly to the Taylor Report, you got an event, tell us, please. You know, and we will do. We like to do interviews with people who are organizing interesting events and important events for the community. Like last week, someone contacted us, and of course, we supported the call for solidarity with the Dakota Access Pipeline struggle, which is one of the ugliest, difficult things to get in front of the population. Anyway, so we did it. And so we have further announcements today. I know Tiki Clark has a
yes, and
an important program coming
this
up.
This is
an
coming
event.
Up this Thursday night at
Just you're on the edge of your seats.
Yeah, be sitting on the edge of your seats.
Well, Phil is looking for that. He'll.
Markham House. That's a 610 Markham Street.
610 Markham.
At 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. And it is called Lift Every Voice and Sing the Roots of Gospel Music, Volumes 1, 2, 3. This is a relaunch of an older work by Tiki Mercury Clark.
Yeah.
Of course, a different book list is a co-sponsor of this
voice.
Event.
She is such a master of the material and the subject. So, you know, people should be there. Give us again the 610 Markham.
610 Markham. It's
Thursday.
Thursday at 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 9:30 p.m.
Yeah.
It's called Markham House.
Markham
and
House.
And while you're at Markham House, of course, you can see the exhibit called, what is it, The Roots of Blackhurst, which is, yeah. Of course,
great term.
A little installation exhibit about how Bloor and Bathurst, and it's part of a history as the center of the African-Canadian community for many, many years.
Tiki Clark, great, great voice, great figure in Toronto culture, major player. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Call us up at 416-946-7800. Donate to help the great station of CIUT. And if you are calling from any distance, 1-888-204-8976. And another announcement I want to make is this is an important one for Hamilton. There is going to be a talk by two individuals who have traveled to Syria, and it's the name of the program is a topic is Syria's War for Humanity. As you know, there's a great battle being waged between the terrorists in East Aleppo. At this moment, it has the world's attention, and of course, the government of Syria, together with its allies, are trying to crush those terrorists, and they are not getting, of course, any support from the Western powers, who are surreptitiously in league with the Gulf monarchies, trying to destroy, undermine Syria. Of course. Nearby in Iraq, the story is told exactly differently by the Western media, and so this would be those are reasons you should attend. This is Tuesday, 7 p.m. at 24 Main Street, the New Vision United Church, and that's the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. Mark Taliano and Ken Stone are the speakers. I think each of them has written a book pamphlet. About this matter, Serious War for Humanity, 24 Main Street, New Vision United Church, Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. And I want to just say, and Phil can join me as we spontaneous here as you like, we've had a lot of terrific people on this show. I was just going through my notebook from the previous.
Well, first of all, Phil, I've got to say, before we list them, I just want to mention that we have talked about Rwanda, and you have led really and sometimes a very, very lonely effort over 20 years to talk about what happened in Rwanda and the way that story has been managed by the Western press. We got some people here very, very upset by the kind of stuff. And now, all of a sudden, after 20 years, I shouldn't say all of a sudden because it's good that it's happening, but the Globe and Mail has discovered this story. And they're now catching up with the information that was available to listeners of the Taylor Report 15 and 20 years ago.
That's probably why people are so anxious to donate. They say, I remember that. You know, or they twigged to it at the time, probably, because we did. It's true. Then Globe and Mail front page story cited, a name that had they said had provided important information at variance with the what you might call the official story, about the origins of the conflict and the responsibility for the assassination of the two presidents of Burundi and Rwanda. And that name was Hourigan. And they gave no additional information. Well, the Taylor Report interviewed Mr. Hourigan, I think maybe 3-4 times at length. It's in the archives, kids. And he told us chapter and verse. So, yeah, thank you very much for mentioning. That is something we have done, and that's the kind of thing alternative radio allows. Incidentally, you could not have started that story. You could not begin to tell it. They were not interested. Mr. Hourigan himself used to knock on the door and say, "Hello, I'm here. I am a lawyer. I am a trained investigator. I work for the United Nations." And they would say, "Go away. That's not the story we want." He had a hard time, but he braved his way through it. And, of course, he now receiving the kind of attention, unfortunately, he's deceased, but his record is now being treated with respect. Which is why you want to donate, 416-946-7800. And there's CIUT.FM. You just go there with – have your credit card ready, and you're in business. And we would be so delighted to get your support. And you can call 1-888-204-8976. Hey, I want to thank Stanley Babbitt, the unseekable Stanley, who was once, by the way, a merchant seaman, crossed the Atlantic during the war and braved that. He was probably young and foolish and didn't know how brave he was, but at any rate, he did it. And so that makes us that gives us street cred when we talk about all these things, and people know that we have listeners who have lived the life and seen these things, and they support this program, the Taylor Report, 89.5 FM and CIUT. So that's why you ought to jump in and do it right now while I'm speaking. Don't wait for me to finish. 416-946-7800, and it's toll free at 1-888-204-8976. Also on this program, Phil, we had Vanessa Beatley, who told us about the White Helmet fraud, and really at the perfect time, because the NDP caucus was saying they wanted them to get a Nobel Prize, and she was saying, why would you give a Nobel Prize to a group of people founded by British intelligence and who get all their money from nasty people who are actually – seem to be close to the terrorists. So we thought that was an important matter.
And you know what we've also done on this program, which you cannot find on the CBC or the CTV and the Globe Mails, we've reported about Syria from people in Syria.
Stephen Sahuni.
Yes. I mean, like, that sounds like, well, you want to have a story about Syria? Talk to a Syrian. But that seems to be beyond what the other guys can do, right? They talk to somebody in London or Washington or New York. Or maybe even Beirut, right?
Yes, apparently very nice cafes and good hotels in which Western journalists sit and make phone calls to various terrorist supporters and ask them what's going on, and which appalls us. There is a guy who is quite funny. I don't always think his politics are funny, but he's funny. His name is – they call him the Angry Arab, and he tracks these Western journalists, and he is infuriated at the quality of the coverage, and he says they live in Beirut, and they have their little stringer of friends who are all disreputable. And gosh, a bird just flew in with information, and we thought we would try to correct that problem by a wonderful young man and journalist, Stephen Sahuni. By the way, he's a very conscientious man, very understated, but he gives you the straight goods, and he doesn't do it in a propagandistic language. He talks about time, date, place, where, who, and you can go and check it yourself, which you should always do, no matter who's telling you. And we're glad of that. Also, we've been trying to follow matters to do in Africa. We probably among – Well, I say among the few. I think we're among the one. That would be the Taylor Report, who thinks it is a very good thing that South Africa and Gambia, and Burundi and Namibia and others are saying they regard the International Criminal Court as the International Caucasian Court because the only people charged are Africans. And no one should participate in a court. No state should do that. It's giving undue regard to an operation that discriminates. And we would hope that Africa would take the lead in fighting discrimination, and that's what they're doing. So we spoke to Mr. Lebany, who is a Burundian, who told us in very eloquent terms why and provided all the details of the prejudicial approach. And we noted that Samantha Powers, loves to lecture Africans, wanted to make a big issue of Burundi's lack of cooperation with the U.S. State Department. And we encouraged Burundi to tell the U.S. State Department to go away. So that's why, I'm putting it on the table for you. That's why you should support the Taylor Report and CIUT. So call us up. 416-946, make a donation, 946-7800. And you can call us toll-free at 1-888-204-8976. You have some announcements here, Phil?
Well, I do want to tell people that all donations will be entered into the grand prize draw, which is 3 nights accommodation in Reykjavik, Iceland, after you get flown there from wherever you live to New York City, where you're going to catch an Iceland Air flight from Kennedy Airport to Reykjavik. And that's everybody who donates is going to have their name in that draw. And that is that's a wonderful prize. That's amazing.
By the way, the station linked up with some performers from Reykjavik at the Horseshoe, and it was a huge success. Everybody loved that.
Right. It was a massive success.
I love the names of the performers. I can't just pull them out of my memory.
I think it's wonderful that this very small country finds a home in Toronto in CIUT. Because it is the kind of country that the big boys tend to ignore, right? Take for granted, right? But we know that it has a very rich culture, in politics, in art, and in music, and a lot of stuff to interest CIUT. And so I think this burgeoning relationship between Iceland and CIUT is this wonderful thing.
No, I like it. Iceland has an anchor in CIUT, or CIUT has an anchor in Iceland, which is it's close. And I'll just tell you a strange detail that jumped to my head. When Victor Hugo was 17 years old, he wrote a novel about Iceland called Hans of Iceland.
Now, I'd say, who else besides a host at CIUT would know something like that?
And I've been trying to get it out of my head, but it won't leave. So that's why you should support the station. We bring you that esoteric information, which turns out to be what you need to survive. And the number is 416-946-7800. And calling us from anywhere on the earth, 1-888-204-8976. We'd love to hear from you, please.
And I want to say that we are now at $11,735, and we want to get to $12,000 by the end of this hour, which we can do. And we have a number of names. You want me to read them out, Phil?
As you like.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Ken Stone, thank you very much. Ken, an old friend and supporter. Ron Meswak, always donates in the name of his late wife, Karen Snooks, a community activist, trade unionist. And
you remember Karen Snooks.
I remember Karen very well.
Lovely woman, great artist.
David Cook, Vlad Yakovich. You're okay. There you go. Robin Philpott.
Vlad's going to forgive you for that.
Okay. Thank you, Vlad. Gregory Leah, Randy Dada. And Kevin Bremer. So thank you all. And I have some promises from some friends who I contacted on Facebook last night and sent out about 120 letters. And I got four or five people come by. Okay, I'm
I'm in.
And I want to thank one in particular because it's an old friend that I was out of touch with for 25 years who phoned me up out of the blue the other day, and she gave $89.50 and became a member of CIUT. And she wants everybody to please keep an eye on Korea right now, where there are a million people in the street demanding that that president go, just leave, right? The president, of course, is from a long line of fascists and collaborators.
We're talking about the lady running
South Korea. Yeah, they're hoping that she will be gone, and all the people in Korea on the streets. You know, by the way, from the internet, I've learned that there have been workers' demonstrations in Korea now for 2 years that they bring out 100,000 people at the drop of a hat. And it never makes the news here, right?
We should take this as a self-criticism for the Taylor Report. We will do that story. We're going to have to do that.
And there was a demonstration here on Saturday of Koreans demanding the president of Korea
resign.
We
do talk about, of course, the larger issue between the U.S. and so-called North
Stephen
Korea.
Stephen Gowans keeps on top of this.
Stephen Gowans is very much brilliant on the matter and has pointed out something we like to always remind our listeners of, which is that in time of crisis, the command of the South Korean army goes to an American commander. So if there's any trouble, the army is under the command of an American.
Right.
And people tend to forget that World War II ended in 1945, approximately, and the Americans were in South Korea and they never went home. They remain there. It's just very bizarre.
To this day.
And it's one of those things where, you know, because this is a country that likes to lecture other countries about, you know, sovereignty and all that. But it's Tolstoy. Tolstoy said once that the rich will do anything for you except get off your back. And that's sort of their game. At any rate, we will look into the Korea story, and all we need is a little donation, and that's 416 to do it, to donate to the Taylor Report and to CIUT. Call us up.
And can I remind our listeners, Phil, that if you give $25 or more, you will get a tax receipt for it. So, of course, your net cost is less than the face amount of your donation. And if you give $89.50 or more, you're now a member of CIUT. You get a little card saying you're a member. You get a
card-carrying member. Card-carrying member.
The card gives you certain rights to go into certain merchants and get a deal.
It won't get you into Trump Tower, but it'll get
you. No, it will not get you into Trump Tower. We haven't worked that out yet with the Donald yet. His price is too high, but it'll probably come down. And of course, all of these will go into the grand prize draw for the trip to Reykjavik. And of course, if you give $120 or more, you get a wonderful CIUT T-shirt.
Yeah. Hey, I want to mention too again the kind of programming we do. We've had Ted Schmidt here, who is never neutral, by the way, and that happens to be the title of his wonderful book. And, you know, we cover, too, for example, we have a new – there is a new pope, and he has really kind of changed the way a lot of subjects are talked about just because it's the pope. And particularly this has affected struggles – of the poor and for national self-determination and human rights in general have been boosted by this new pope. And Ted Schmidt has helped us out on a number of occasions talking about when the pope visited Cuba and met with Raul, and that was significant. And we have to turn to people like Ted to straighten us out on these things, to give us the background. So that's when you tune in to CIUT, that's what you get. So remember, now's the time to donate, 416-946-7800. As Phil said previously, we want to make 12 grand. And so we might need to hear from you guys in Tonopah and Winnipeg and wherever. And you can call us 1-888-204-8976. And of course, go straight to CIUT.fm and have your card ready, and you can become a card carrying member if you give us $89.50. And you have a shot going to Reykjavik, because your name will be entered, and it's a expense paid trip to Reykjavik. That's a half rhyme, right? They call it a half rhyme. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. Some other names. We had Ann Garrison. She's a Green Party advocate. We talked about the Green Party. We spoke openly and unashamedly and to this moment knew of Jill Stein and the wonderful contribution she and Mr. Baraka made to that strange swamp called American politics. There was a living creature there, an actual healthy one. And so we spoke to Ann Garrison about – she attended their convention. And we spoke to Matt Funicello, 21st District of New York. He's a contender. He's one of those guys. His numbers are up 10, 11%, and they stop laughing when you hit 10%. You know, you start getting calls from people wondering what they can do either for you or about you. And we had Keith Bolander. And I can tell you, I've been in touch with him. Keith Bolander will be coming in to visit us when he returns from a trip. He'll be here in December talking about what the election of Trump will mean for Cuban-U.S. Relations. Not that anybody knows, but he can give us a picture of what the problem is going to look like or issue. I think, by the way, if I could just say that one of the reasons the Cubans have been very wise in playing their cards close to their vest and making sure that the I's get dotted and the T's get crossed is that you can get double crossed. They've been very wise in their dealings with the great giant. We look forward to having Keith Bolander come in. Keith has written two or three really great books about the difficult relations between the U.S. and Cuba. And this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. We know you love the station and all the great programs that are available here, including, by the way, Phil Collins, which is Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. It's called Classical Underground. And every week, pretty interesting stuff. And it's always contemporaneous. You know, something happens somewhere in East Europe, Phil finds music that will tell you about it. Music can be
and something always does. So,
music always has a sort of inevitable eloquence about it.
Boy, does it ever! You know, and things that you never knew about the world of classical music can unearth. You know,
yeah. You of course made us all understand that great musicians and great composers—they're living in the same weather and walking the same streets and
goodness,
come from the
yeah,
same
yeah.
neighborhoods. And that's all these things are on their minds.
Well, you know, and the favorite story, which was unearthed thanks to a professor here on this campus, was that when the composer Haydn was a sick old man and he was in Vienna and Napoleon was bombarding Vienna and Napoleon ordered his troops to put a safe zone for 1 square mile or approximately around where Haydn lived. And Napoleon's officer went in there to give the compliments of the emperor to Franz Josef Haydn and then went back to his garrison and was killed in battle the same day.
Who was killed in battle?
The officer.
The officer who delivered that?
Yes. I mean, only on Classical Underground would you hear a story like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, now you just heard it on the Taylor Report.
Yeah.
This is CIUT, the Taylor Report, and we've just illustrated why you ought to be tuning in and why I'm sure you're happy to donate. All you need to know is the number, and it is 416-946-7800, and you can call us toll-free, 1-888-204-8976. Of course, you could go to CIUT.FM.
By the way, have we told our listeners that if you give $200, you're going to get 3 entries into the grand prize draw for the trip to Reykjavik?
No, we have not told our
listeners. So pump it up to $200 and look what it is. You can
increase
do.
Your odds.
Absolutely. And if you give $500, you're going to get 5 entries. And you're going to get your own 2-hour program that you can host on a one-time basis for $500.
For $500?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So listen.
Plus the wonderful T-shirt. I have to tell you that over the years, I have a great collection of CIUT T-shirts. Yeah.
It's always a pleasure. I walk to go down the street and see a CIUT T-shirt.
And I want you to know that I wore one in Los Angeles and somebody recognized it on the street and said, hey, I listen to CIUT. And that was in L.A.
Now, there's a Now, that's a stretcher, we call it. But no, I believe that because, of course, many people from Toronto live in Los Angeles. Yeah.
And this was one of them.
Yeah. We're looking at you, Mike Myers. And by the way, Mike, please call us up at 416-946-7800 or toll free 1-888-204-8976.
Now, that's 76. An idea. We've got to call up all the Canadian celebrities in L.A. and ask them to contribute.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
Jim Carrey, there
are a number.
Yeah.
There are a number there. Again, it was just some of the remarkable people. Zafar Benkash. We have many listeners who every time Zafar is on, we get nice notes and whatnot. Because, again, he's on top of this stuff. And we live in a city and a country which is not – and entirely happy to hear from Zafar because Zafar tells him the straight goods. And that's why, again, alternative radio is so important. We've had Ishmael Reed. We had Ishmael Reed when Muhammad Ali died. Ishmael Reed had just published a book of his life, which was, by the way, you know, Ishmael Reed is one of the most important American writers, won many, many prizes, and a playwright and everything else. Now, he told the story of Muhammad Ali in a way that it had never been done, not in a journalistic way or a quick book way, but he actually interviewed people who grew up with Muhammad Ali and some of the former wives who attended not to be talked to or had not themselves not wished to talk to anybody, but they talked to Ishmael Reed. And so we had him on the show almost an hour, I think, talking about that book. And again, I assume that's why the program is popular and why you, of course, are remembering just now that, gee, I better call him up at 416-946-7800 or toll-free 1-888-204-8976. And remember, when you do that, you got a chance at a trip for two to Reykjavik.
Yeah.
And Reykjavik.
Yeah.
We're gonna start playing some Icelandic music, by the way. We probably should have thought of that today.
There is plenty available, so I think we can do that. It will not be a problem to arrange that.
We'll start following these groups, as Phil said. We'll pick out the ones, particularly the ones who are at the Horseshoe, my guess is, and people are now going around talking to each other about it. So we'll make sure that CIUT on our shows is playing it. I'll bet others will do the same. And other folks that we had, Phil's already mentioned Stephen Gowans. By the way, we had David Heap and Eva Manley. Now, the Freedom Flotilla, the women's boat to Gaza, again, they got completely sealed off. There was a decision. CBC, Globe, Star, forget it. It may as well not have happened. I mean, and this was, here are heroic people. Eva Manley is an outstanding activist of British Columbia, but sure, her husband had been a member of Parliament. He himself had gone on the Freedom Flotilla. She was part of the women's boat to Gaza. So we spoke to David Heap. We spoke to Eva Manley. They were available here on CIUT, on the Taylor Report. So I'm sure you're circling that and thinking, yeah, I better get with it. So call us up, 416-946-7800. Make a donation. And just kind of keep in mind, it is the Taylor Report, but it's a wonderful CIUT, but we like the attention, the Taylor Report. And then, of course, you can, again, toll-free, 1-888-204-8976. I love looking at these names. We had Eve Engler. Engler has a new book. He was touring with the book, and we had him as our guest. Eve is no less an individual than Noam Chomsky.
One of my favorites is Mother Miriam, the nun from Syria, who we've had on a couple of times, who, again, is somebody who gets ignored by the mainstream press because her story doesn't fit with their narrative, right?
So, yeah. It's very interesting. If she were a nun in Iraq and saying exactly what she's saying, they would say, get that woman a microphone. Can we get her on 60 Minutes? But, oops, she's in Syria, and she's supporting the government's struggle against terrorists. organized by the State Department and the French and others. And they said, no, we'll not talk to her. I was amazed. You know, Hillary is no longer with us, at least as a challenger, a contender, whatever it was. But when they were blowing the Libya to pieces, and we were protesting that, by the way, on this show, we objected and spoke up about it, and we spoke to people who were there. There were bishops, Catholic bishops, in Tripoli saying, stop the madness. Don't, you know, quit bombing. Your no-fly zone is destroying Libya. It will disappear as an economy, as a society. You're going to – and the media here would not talk to them, you see, because they're called apologists for the, quote, regime, and they were – in the regime change business. So, you know, that's why you listen to the Taylor Report. I think we may be getting close to the end of the time here.
We're at it.
So, oh, my God. I owe Indigenous Waves a big apology. They're great people. And I realize I talked over my time. And my apologies. And I'm going to hand it over to them. Thanks very much.
The sound of your city. CIUT 89.5, Toronto. Listen to us on the go with TuneIn Radio's free app or go to the live stream at www.